NFL draft last night, Chris. Do you have any NFL draft takes?
I would not have drafted the guy named Penis. I'll say it. It's just bad
not
karma.
His name.
Come on.
His last name is famously Penix.
it's but Michael X is like Penix a variable. Jr. X can mean anything. That's the whole point of math.
Oh, right. So there's a 1 in 25 chance that his...
Well, well, could 26. Also just still be X.
Yeah, I guess. All right, 1 in 26 chance that his name is Michael Penis Jr.
Yeah, we won't know until we solve the equation.
Yeah.
So. And isn't that just like the NFL draft, Griffin? You have all these variables, but you don't know the answer, the solution to the equation until you solve it, you know?
Yeah. So, speaking of, that was famously the worst pick in the first round. The Atlanta Falcons, mere weeks after signing Kirk Cousins.
You're very quiet. You want to lean into that microphone of yours?
To a four-year, $180 million contract, they then spend a top 10 draft pick on the oldest quarterback in the draft. Can you explain the thought logic there, the reasoning?
Hey, I can explain the thought logic to you anytime you want, honey. And I know you were joking, but that was the right volume when you were leaning all the way into your microphone.
How about now? Right. There we go. Is that better?
Probably.
This is a live to tape, or do you want to just start this again?
No. My whole thing about the variable, that was great.
we'd never be able to recapture that lightning in a bottle.
What were you asking me? What the point of the NFL draft is?
No, what the point of the Atlanta Falcons drafting a quarterback in the top 10 just weeks after signing a quarterback to a four-year, $180 million contract?
I think that must have been a panic move, right? But like...
panic about what?
Panic, like they were trying to trade their pick to force someone to take a quarterback. Probably Minnesota, if we're crunching, sort of thinking this through here. So they were on the clock. They thought that they had this trade. The trade didn't happen, and they're suddenly like, "Oh shoot, we have to pick." And then they're like, just go with the best player available.
Wait, which name jumps to our head first? Oh, I know. Penis.
Now. But they... And it's like...
You're getting now, me.
You're the one who said it was inappropriate. They could have gone wide receiver. There's no reason they couldn't. But like, they are kind of like overloaded at skill positions already. Like
no, they should have traded down. It's insane that they didn't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that they were in a great position to trade down. They didn't, but then, why don't you just take a receiver?
Yeah. Do you think the other 31 teams colluded? Because they were like, they know that the Falcons are horribly mismanaged, and they're like, all right, everyone, no one trade with them, and let's see what they do. Like, let's see if we can just trick them into making this terrible draft pick. No, apparently the logic that came out today from Atlanta-based reporters was that... They know that now that they have Kirk Cousins, they won't be drafting in the top 10 for the next couple of years. So they want to draft a top 10 quarterback now while they still have the chance.
For the next 10 years?
No, next couple years.
Kirk Cousins will be in the grave by then. Let's just get this out of the way. That's stupid.
Yes, quite.
That's true. Did you see the thing that was like... It appeared to be the GM trying to explain to the owner of the Falcons why they did what they did.
Last night?
It was like, there's no sound, but you could see, like, he was, like, talking to the owner, and he was like, well, you see, and kind of, like, moving his hands, like, this and this, and he was like, this. And I don't know
you
if
see,
that's
we
real.
Already know that Kirk Cousins is terrible, so we really needed some insurance.
Yeah, a baffling choice. Anything else? Well, I mean, like, the Broncos picked the obvious bust quarterback. Hey, that's
I thought the Vikings picked the obvious bust quarterback.
I feel like he's the obvious, like, Ryan Tannehill.
Okay.
Like, the obvious, like, sure, that's a starting quarterback. If, like, you don't want, like, a Super Bowl.
Right.
Excuse my cough, by the way. Just kidding. Yeah. And also, like, I think to go back to the Falcons, like, it was a strange situation. I mean, I won't pretend like I know what the Falcons' offensive line is like. That would probably
be easy. You can pretend. Easy, like, can you name a couple players on the Falcons' offensive line really quick? And you are allowed to pretend.
Well, there's John Penix Sr. No relation, because obviously they have the same name.
Michael Penix, really. Yeah.
Amanda Blockens. And
Amanda.
Yeah. Hey, any name can be any name.
That's true. That's named, so true.
One of the best NFL players is named Danielle. Danielle Hunter.
Yes. It took me a second. You didn't want to laugh. I clicked in. No, I was just trying to think, who the hell is named Danielle? Is this a joke? Or, oh, yeah, Danielle Hunter.
It's all too real. And Michael Block.
Right. There's a Blockens and a Block.
But Michael Block is, of course, the author and historian. I'll bet someone in my house knows who Michael Block is.
I feel like I've heard of Michael Block.
Apparently it was noted that his biography of some guy had a laudable objectivity about him.
Okay, just play the theme song and start the show. I'm cutting this off at the knees.
You don't know about James Lees Milne?
Play the song.
He was an expert on country houses, Griffin.
I hate what our podcast has become.
This is what the show is.
Welcome in, everyone, to High Floor, Low Ceiling. It's Friday, April 26th when we record this, Chris. It'll probably be Saturday, April 27th when we upload this. What do you think of a Saturday upload? We could really stand out because not a lot of podcasts upload on Saturdays.
You have all of these theories about
uploading. Once we find the right upload time, our pod is going to take off.
Okay.
It's all about the alky.
It's all about the Benjamins, I've heard. A Saturday, I honestly, unironically, I do think that if a podcast uploaded on Saturday, that would be like a good move. Because right. Like,
we're a Saturday podcast now. I will follow you to the ends of the earth.
That's fine by me. But yeah, I think it's a good idea. I mean, like, why? I know people listen at work and stuff, but like, it's almost like if it's Monday.
Yeah,
you've got to. You're like, it's, you know, a lot of competition. On Monday, you want to hold on to the last vestiges of the weekend, Griffin. And you know what's a great last vestige of the weekend? You go to your podcast app, you find the podcast that you listened to the first 20 minutes of on Saturday when you were still in bed. I'll bet. Hey, if anyone's listening to this in bed,
move over. We're coming in.
Yeah, that's hot.
What? We're just gonna. I was thinking it was a platonic
move over. Is crazy.
Chris and I are getting in,
so to speak.
Listen to it in a stereo split so that it sounds like I'm on one side of you and Chris is on the other.
Yeah, and we're snugly close. We should do ASMR. Just quickly, do you want to do some ASMR?
Well, here's the thing. Stereo splits, Chris. They were made
famous. You don't want to do anything about sports. Sorry.
I'll be quiet. Beatles. And I went to Beatles trivia at the bar last week.
What the hell?
Beatles trivia.
Why did you invite? Why did you invite me?
I don't know. I didn't know you were a big Beatles person.
I'm a huge Beatles fan.
Oh, okay. Next time.
I have the White Album Super Deluxe on CD out there.
Oh no. That's not good for the ASMR. You banged the microphone.
Hey, I banged the microphone cable.
What's okay, your now, take on the Beatles' use of stereo split? Because Thomas, friend of the show, who famously hated that August right. one last year, Taylor Swift bracket, he also hates the Beatles' use of stereo split with vocals in one ear and instruments in the other.
Who likes it?
I think it's creative.
It's not creative. It was just the recording process at the time because they didn't care about stereo back then. They were only recording on four tracks. They couldn't, like, mix the stereo properly. Have you heard the Revolver Super Deluxe, Griffin?
I've only heard the, like, remastered editions from 2009.
you gotta listen to the Revolver Super Deluxe. What's the mix Super is so Deluxe much
that isn't on the normal album.
Well, there's a bunch of extra stuff, but the main thing is Revolver. Revolver's awesome. They remixed it because they have this new technology. So originally they remixed all the Sgt. Pepper and Onwards albums because I guess they had like
the Look Pepper. Out!
Oh my god. Was messed up.
Do you think that'll get anyone who's lying in bed?
It got me right now. Hold on, wait. Let me do some ASMR as well.
Okay. Oh, you weren't doing ASMR that whole time. Oh.
Well, I was whispering. I don't know if I was doing. But we got
the famous McDonald's Diet Coke. Cause I.
And then people will really like this.
I'm gonna hate this. Oh god, that was awful. This is terrible ASMR.
Make sure you, like, levelate the audio before you
find it. No, I'm not touching. This is raw audio.
You're going to hurt people with this. This is a weapon.
The title of this episode is Raw ASMR.
Oh, hey, it's a great movie. Raw, that is. And, frankly, my favorite way to spend my Monday nights, Griffin.
Monday night raw.
That's really good.
On Netflix.
Hey, not till next year.
I assume they're going to charge more. Oh, I never watched
yeah, we didn't even WrestleMania. Talk about WrestleMania.
It looked cool. Do you want to save it for next week so that I can watch it?
Sure.
Before we talk about it? We'll hit it topically.
Yeah, it's a perfect time. Also, you should watch Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson from AEW Dynasty 2024.
I saw that something was going on with Tony Khan at the draft last night.
That did happen. That was really funny. He got pile-driven.
Oh no!
On AEW Dynamite.
Wait, wasn't he pile driven by like the child of a famous person or something?
Well, yes, he was of course. Well, so Jungle Boy Jack Perry, who is of course the son of Luke Perry.
Oh my God, that's who it was, Luke Perry.
It's a really random connection. He made his return after being legitimately suspended for an altercation with CM Punk.
Oh, like an CM actual Punk left. Suspension. Yes,
a real life suspension for a real life altercation that he had backstage with CM Punk. And then they have now sort of turned this into an angle where Jungle Boy Jack Perry attacked, or I believe he's now known as the Scapegoat Jack Perry, attacked Tony Khan, and then the Young Bucks, which is a tag team, who are the actual like executive vice presidents of the company.
I love when wrestlers and businesses cross.
They came out to save Tony Khan, but then they attacked Tony Khan and hit him with a pile driver. And so, yes, Tony Khan was in a neck brace the following night at the draft, which was very good.
Yeah, good bit. I'm sure the Khans are great people.
Sure. Hey, Genghis?
Chinggis, I believe it's pronounced.
Sure. I think it's Chinggis.
Genghis.
I believe it's Tingus Pingus.
That's a great video. I cut it short for all of the kids in the audience. But
just quickly, Griffin, I despise the level of the Taylor Swift, it's over. I'm ready for it to be over.
The discourse?
I'm ready for people to stop talking about her. And I don't mean us people.
No, we're allowed to keep talking about her.
Of course. But the global people.
Yes. Joe Public.
Joe Public. Just shut up. Like,
Chris, I will say... Sorry. I will say the only thing I found more boring than the discourse around this album was the album itself. I know you probably liked it. It seemed up your alley.
I've not listened to the second album.
It's too much music.
I did say while we were listening to the first album, she's in her Drake era.
Something you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy.
Exactly. And I mean, hey, speaking of which, Griffin, speaking of this podcast.
Drake Loki sucks, I think that, by the way.
Certainly recently, for
hasn't
sure.
Hasn't had a good album since Views.
Not low-key. Yeah, I think most people would agree with you on that. Low-key, she's a bit of a, currently a high-floor, low-ceiling type.
Mm. I will say, yeah, this album, I think, just did not, to me... I've only listened to it once. I need to listen to it again. I will admit that. But to me, it didn't feel like we were doing anything new. It felt like we were doing very samey stuff.
Yeah, I think that's the primary issue. And I like a lot of the songs. I will listen to it more for sure. I think that some of her best work... I think the best songs on this new album are better than the best songs on Midnights. Except Ain't Here, obviously. That's a different story. But in general, I think the highs are higher.
Midnights definitely grew on me over time, so we'll have to see what this one does.
I'm not worried about her now. I'm worried about where she might be trending as an artist.
Right. Well, I do sort of wonder, don't you think this album, I was listening to the guys at Las Culturistas, and they made some interesting points about, don't you sort of feel like this might be her, it's a very, like, closing a book kind of album, and maybe she'll try something new next time? And
then I think so. I think...
13, who the hell knows what that's going to be.
Hey, so true. And she's gotten too big. It's a problem.
You think she'll go away for a bit after she... I mean, the tour is still going for, like, another...
I know, that's the thing. But I would hope so, for her sake, if nothing else.
Yeah, take a break, Taylor.
Yeah. And anyway, like,
go everyone watch your boyfriend lose in the AFC Championship to the Baltimore Ravens next year.
Just drafted a receiver in the first round.
Yeah, but the Ravens drafted a corner to counter. It's these two teams going back and
perfect
forth.
Perfect chess move. The two best teams in the league.
Arguably.
You are coping so hard.
They went to the AFC Championship game at home. It's not that much of a cope to call them one of the best teams in the league. They were the number one seed in the American Football Conference. For most of the regular season, they were the best team in the league. And then they didn't play well in the AFC Championship.
They had the best record in the NFL.
Yeah.
But we all know how
much... But apparently I'm coping so hard.
If your only playoff win is against the Houston Texans...
Well, because they had a bye in the first round. Exactly. You can't use that. That's like saying that, like, oh, LeBron...
Well, just they immediately.
It would be better for LeBron to lose in the second round than it would to.
Well, that's the whole thing. It would be better for him to not make the playoffs, apparently.
I mean, this year he basically did. But we'll get to that.
He certainly will.
Chris,
anyways,
truth,
the point
dare,
is,
spin the bottle. You know how to ball. I know Aristotle.
Uh huh.
That's all I'm willing to say on this family show.
I'm sorry to say this.
You like this lyric?
No. I also, that song, the whole song that's about Travis Kelce is, and plug your ears to the apparently children we have listening to this podcast.
Let me check our demographics real quick. Before you keep going with what you're saying, you vamp for 5 seconds. I will check our 18 to 29 demographic.
You consider those to be children?
Yes, I do. So
that song is terrible. That song is like omega embarrassing.
That's valid.
But anyways, what was I talking about?
Chris, less than 1% of our listeners are in the 0 to 17 age range, so you don't have to worry.
That song is fucking terrible.
However, 20% of our listeners are 60 plus, so they might get offended.
That makes a lot of sense. I think I know the 20%.
Yeah, is it our parents?
Yeah.
We're really holding down the 23s to 27s.
Shocker. Well, you're aging out of that rapidly.
Excuse me.
What's up?
Also, Emilio won't stop hate messaging me on Twitter.
That's not true.
He messaged me. He said,
"Oh, he did say
your idea of the Midwest is crazy." Aside from that, I've received no pushback on my Midwest take.
I do remember him saying this,
and he said, "You are like transposing the area Alberta takes up to what it is to its south, but really, the American Midwest is closer to Ontario, proximity to the Great Lakes. It's just weirdly named." And then didn't respond to my response to that, and then just sent, "I'm all over this app rent-free."
Well, you bring him up again unprompted will really show him. Speaking of Emilio Diaz, Griffin, the Toronto Blue Jays.
Huge fan.
Yeah.
Me of the way the Blue Jays have approached the offense this season. That's what I was saying.
Is that true?
No. True. I mean, I don't think it's an approach thing, really.
They're 13-13.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a personnel issue? Well, I mean, because, like, ostensibly...
The team is talented.
Okay, so what's the issue? If it's not approach and it's not personnel?
Coincidental slumps. I don't know. It's like... I mean, I guess it is approach in that scenario, but, like, their three best hitters are not hitting very well all at the same time.
How much longer are we going to say that Vladimir Guerrero is an elite player?
Do you say that Vladimir Guerrero is an elite player?
Do you say that Vladimir Guerrero is an elite? I mean, I don't mean the we, I mean the global we.
I think this is... These next couple months will basically determine that.
Because his... So his OPS plus, just as a, you know, to use a catch-all metric.
Yeah.
Is MVP-ish year.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Esque. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. 167.
That's 67% better than the average MLB hitter.
It's terrific. He led the American League in on-base percentage and slugging.
Yeah.
That's kind of the best you could possibly hope for.
Yeah.
The next year, 133.
OPS? Did he lead it in OPS?
He did lead in OPS. And wow. OPS Plus, for that matter.
Wow.
And frankly, he led the major leagues in home runs and runs.
It was a good year.
Absolutely. The next
year... He had arrived.
133. Okay. OPS Plus.
A very good hitter.
Very good hitter. Home run total drops from 48 to 32. He leads the major leagues in grounding into double plays.
Yeah. And nothing I think else. That I'm not too concerned about. That just means that he puts the ball in play a lot and the Blue Jays have runners on base a lot. I think that's more random than people are... Like, people panic when they see that. I think that's more or less random.
Okay.
Lots of guys
grounded. He has been consistently high in that area.
Yeah, he puts the ball in play, and he bats at the top of the order.
Okay. The following year, 117.
Yeah, this is when the problems start. When he has a second above average but not elite year in a row.
We're down to 26 homers.
Yeah, that's also a big, big issue. Where's the power gone?
And then this year, 98 OPS plus. He is on pace for about 20 home runs.
I can't believe it's that many. Doesn't he only have, like, three home runs?
He has three home runs in 26 games, which would be roughly 18.
Jeez.
Over 162 games.
Listen, offense is down across the league.
Mm-hmm.
There's no denying that, but this is a major, major issue. And, yeah, I think he's got a couple of months to figure this out. Like, if he continues, even at, like, a 120 OPS plus pace... Then you just sort of have to accept that that's who he is. He needs to get it back up above, like, 130, 135 the rest of the year to even, like, make people think that he can get back to 2021 again, I feel.
Yeah. And obviously there are some other issues. Bo Bichette is hitting worse than Vladdy.
Yes.
Alejandro Kirk quietly sucks. An OPS plus of 36.
Holy mother of... What's our 0 to 17?
Under 1%.
Okay, that fucking sucks. Alejandro Kirk sucks at baseball.
Kevin Kiermaier was also around, was in the 40s.
Yeah.
Before his trip to the IL. Daniel Vogelbach, who's ostensibly the Brandon Belt replacement, also at a friendly 51.
What's Brandon Belt doing? He's just chilling.
Brandon Belt is not signed, I believe.
What's the deal there? He had a good season.
Yeah, maybe he... Well, I won't speculate. I was going to say, maybe he's secretly racist.
What?
But I'm just...
The chicken fingers guy you think is secretly racist?
So, I'll tell you how I arrived at that. So, Brandon Belt... Maybe you'll disagree with me here. Brandon Belt kind of looks like Anthony Bass.
They seem to have a similar vibe.
He was famously a homophobe. And then also, if you'll remember, Griffin, in the early 2010s, the Boston Celtics had a backup power forward. Do you remember what his name was, Griffin?
Brandon Bass? Like,
that's absolutely right. And what do you get when you combine Brandon Belt and Anthony Bass?
Brandon Bass, who I believe was a black man, was he not?
Sure.
So that if he's the combination of the two of them, and Anthony Bass is probably racist, don't you think that means that Brandon Belt is not racist?
But maybe it's a situation... This is a terrible segment, by the way. Maybe it's a situation where two negatives are multiplying to equal a positive.
It's some sort of cosmic punishment for the two racist guys.
Oh my god!
That their combination is...
This is so bad. I'm glad we did a live-to-tape episode, yeah. And I'm glad that I did this. No shade at Brandon Belt at all. That was parody.
I would imagine he probably wants too many years and too much money.
But then how do you go from that to no contract? Because he signed a 1 year, $8 million contract. Like Kevin Kiermaier last year.
Right.
Like at a certain point,
maybe he's only so long
you
could
hold
to
these
to
cards
Kevin
before
Kiermaier.
You are fully not playing baseball for a year. Which is, I think, not good.
Yeah, that doesn't really help your value.
No, it
maybe
hurts
he it. Knows that he's done, but he's trying to like con a team. Because if he signs a 1 year prove him deal, he knows he won't be
he
able to
prove him. But he was so good last year.
He was. Everyone.
Go ahead.
Everyone.
Did you get distracted by your phone in the middle of a sentence?
No.
You suck at this.
What?
Sorry.
That's not true. I just delivered us a golden social clip with that Vladdy thing. That's going up tomorrow morning.
Okay. I wish you well. Can we take a break yet?
We're like 25 minutes in. Wow. Yeah, look at how I knew that right away, because I'm good at podcasting.
Okay. I believe you. Instant lead into dead air. Are you just, is this
I'm
your
on strike
act
of
protest?
For the rest of the episode. I'm mad at you.
I'm sure it'll be a big difference from the usual. I got your ass.
Muting all right. You. I'm muting you for the rest of the episode. I'm going on diatribes.
Oh. Hey, it's better than the full fat ribes.
and that's you, the kind of content you say that
I bring to the table.
Your ego
we'll be right
comes
back,
from
right
such
after
a wild
these
place.
Words from our sponsors.
We have sponsors? Who no. sponsors this? Chris, welcome back to High Floor, Low Ceiling, first of all, to all of our...
Thank you.
Not to you. To all of our friends.
Okay.
You know what time of year it is, Chris? It's the most wonderful time
back
of the
school.
Year. That was your favorite time of the year? Back to
no,
school?
No, just I always liked... Staples made extensive use of that song as their sort of...
Do you think they got it for cheap?
I hated going back to school on account of it meant summer was over.
That's such a basic kid take to have.
Yeah, I'll bet you wanted to go back to school. I've been saving these apples all summer to give to you, teacher. That's you.
What about me thinks that... Makes you think that I give off the vibe of a teacher's pet.
Probably your love of going back to school, I'd say, number one, with a bullet.
I could see all my friends again.
Hey, I work for LCD Sound System.
It's just not safe to say any sentence around. No, it's playoff season. There's great games on every single night. Multiple great games in multiple sports.
Yeah. Not always great games.
There's usually one or two
There's
great
usually
games
one
tonight.
Great game. I was thinking of the NHL. I guess there was at least one good NHL game last night. Yeah, I'll agree with you then. There's at least one great game every night. What do you think it'll be tonight?
Let's see. Tonight?
Let's stake an HFLC point on this.
Do we have Pacers-Bucks tonight?
We do have Pacers-Bucks. Giannis is out.
Yeah, I'll still give it to Pacers-Bucks.
It also is happening in, like, an hour. It's at 5:30 Eastern.
To what end?
Not, I guess because they want it to, like, they want them to it to be, like, a triple header.
Mm. That's dumb.
I totally agree, actually. Weirdly.
Yeah. I'll give it to Pacers Bucks as the best game of the night.
Wow, interesting.
Do we have Jets Avs tonight?
I believe we do.
No, I'll stick with Pacers Bucks.
We do. We have Jets Avs and Oilers Kings and Canucks Predators. And Rangers Capitals.
No Clippers Mavs?
Well, I was listing the NHL games. I'll give it to Clippers Mavs. I think maybe this will be the big Luka game.
Okay, so if you're picking an NBA, I'll switch to to Jets Avs.
Seems like a convenient way to free yourself from Bucks Pacers as your big pick.
They've had two good games. Pascal's been going crazy.
Sure. They've been fine. I don't know if they would be my go-to.
Well, it's because you don't have the vision.
I'll wait to ask you the other questions that I want to ask you. But so, Griffin, it's playoff time. What the heck are we supposed to do with that?
Well, I think we should talk about each and every single one of these playoff series, Chris. All
every single
16
one.
First playoff round series.
But Griffin, what if we took it one step further?
Oh,
what if we had playoffs?
Is that what you're calling this one?
Thank you for your respect for
you're
my
welcome.
Work. No, not really, because they aren't really going against each other. They're more just being like compared and contrasted.
Right.
But so we're gonna talk about the playoff series. There are, of course, 16.
Oh.
Playoff series.
That's
look out!
So many. If that gets one person to fall out of their bed,
move over.
I'll be a happy. Yeah, because they've already moved over.
Yeah,
so they're already on the edge of the bed.
And then we lull them. Do you ever wake? Not to get too intimate, but do you ever wake up on the edge of the bed and find out that you've sort of been crowded out of your space?
I am constantly being crowded out of my space. I sometimes wake up in the middle of the night bounced precariously and have to shove a certain someone over back onto her side of the bed.
I just knew in my heart of hearts that was a situation that you found yourself in.
Which one of you ends up on the edge of the bed?
Well, I am the not against the wall side. So.
Oh. So it's you?
It's me. But that's not regular, I wouldn't say. And also, I will do it to myself.
Mm.
That I will sometimes find myself waking up far over. But it's neither here nor there. So, Griffin, we're going to talk about all 16 playoff series. But because people just heard us do 128 Taylor Swift songs and maybe don't have the same patience for us like they thought they did.
Yeah, we've used up all our audience
6 weeks
cachet.
Ago. We are going to compare and contrast two at a time these playoff series. We've grouped them together in groups of two, and we're just going to talk a little bit about each one. Would you like to go first, or would you like me to go first?
I'm more than happy if you go first.
Okay, great. The first one I've got here, Griffin, I'm calling it The Last Gasps, and this is the Florida Panthers versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. And the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Denver Nuggets. Because these are two teams that won a championship in 2020, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, these are the 2020 champions in their respective sports going against two teams that have become arguably
heavyweights.
Sure, arguably the best teams in their respective leagues, or at least their conferences, perhaps. And we're sort of seeing both of these teams sort of being on their last legs. And I think both, the Lakers now down 3-0, the Lightning now down 3-0. I think that both of these teams are sort of going to have to reevaluate what they're doing with their whole roster construction after they lose these series.
Yeah, I mean, they both seem to be on the verge of getting swept. The Lakers clearly just as soon as they... drew the Nuggets, that was over. The Lightning, you may not have seen this coming quite as much. Couple games I could have seen the Lightning winning, but they just look completely overmatched as well. Sergei Bobrovsky is back on his playoff legacy strong play. Way to land that plane. yeah, I just think that I think you've done a good job pairing these series. They do both ring out the end of an old era and the beginning of a new one, although we may already be in the Denver Nuggets era.
For sure. The thing about the Lightning is, like, what would you say that they are short on? Because
youth.
I mean, but, like, they're not that old, weirdly, because you do kind of think of them that way, right?
Yeah.
But so you have Stamkos going into unrestricted free agency. Do you think he returns?
No. I think it's, like, a sort of weird situation where he'll play the last couple of years, like a Patrick Kane type.
Right. Yeah. It's weird that they haven't re-signed him already. But so then, if you take Steven Stamkos out of the equation, then you're here, your I guess, how old is Vasilevskiy's only 29. So here are your core players. Victor Hedman's 33. He's the old one.
I somehow knew that.
That's crazy. Kirill Kucherov is 30. Braden Point is 28. Anthony Cirelli is 26. Nick Paul is 29. Eric Chernak, who is also signed long-term, is 26 at a great price point, might I add. $5.2 million for 5 years.
Florida. Bum, 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 bum,
or no, longer.
Florida.
He's like signed for like 7 years at $5.2 million. And then Sergachev, who's injured, that's another sort of aspect of this that we don't think about, is that, you know, an excellent defenseman is not in the mix here.
That's true.
He's 25. So really,
so maybe it's more a thing if the Panthers are just really, really freaking good.
Yeah, because like you wouldn't say they don't need star power. They have Kucherov. They have Point, who can be like elite level at times for sure. They have solid depth, especially from their forwards. They might be a little lacking in defensive depth. Like, you know, they have the Nick Perbixes of the world. They have Matt Dumba in like a pretty prominent role this year.
What do you think of the name Perbix? Kind of like little cousins with Phoenix.
It's a little too far away from Phoenix for my taste. But
you would like it if everyone's name was very close to Phoenix.
It's kind of like pervert plus Phoenix.
It's pervert, but it's like the thing where sometimes people are like, I don't want to say the word pervert, so I'll call him a pervert.
Right. Yeah, I'm unaliving him.
I'm unaliving this pervert.
Sorry.
Wow.
We're just saying such terrible things in this episode. So they have to replace Stamkos in some form or fashion. Obviously, I mean, he is an $8.5 million cap hit, and I think you would say he's not really playing like an $8.5 million player.
No.
At this stage of his career. So, ostensibly, if you're replacing, you know, that $8.5 million with $8.5 million worth of free agent value from somewhere, and that could even include re-signing Stamkos if you wanted to, although, I don't know, I really have no idea what kind of contract he would get, but maybe they could be, you know, that good again. Any thoughts on this at all?
Well, I'm thinking about it. Sometimes I don't have lightning takes. Sometimes you say something and I'm like, okay, I need to chew on that. We'll cut out the silences.
This is famously live to tape.
Well, we'll see about that. I was actually, part of the reason I got distracted is because I was thinking of if I should cut out something that earlier in the episode we discussed.
keep it.
What if we become famous one day and someone digs that up?
And we said Phoenix and said that Brandon Bass was racist or whatever.
Brandon Bass isn't the one who's racist.
I know. I'm sort of intentionally getting it wrong.
Oh, that's a bit.
All
right, next series.
Oh, you don't want to talk about the Lakers at all?
What's to talk about? They're completely overmatched. Last night, they could not buy a basket with $10 billion. Every single shot.
And they have it on their freaking cap sheet, am I right?
Yeah, every single talk they should. Every single talk they should. missed horribly. They did not put the ball in the basket, and they're just being completely toyed with by the Denver Nuggets. Sure, the games have been close, But, like, this series is not close. The Nuggets, I also saw, are last in the playoffs in three-point percentage and are still going to sweep their first-round series. So they're poised to get better because they're a pretty good three-point shooting team. Jamal Murray, I think, ended the Lakers' season back in Game 2, may have ended this entire iteration of the Los Angeles Lakers. That was the game they had to have, and now this series is over, and their era may be over.
So, the kind of...
I think weirdly, they're much more likely to be blown up than the Lightning are.
Oh, for sure. But the weird thing about them is that you don't really know what LeBron is going to want.
That's the thing. Because, like,
so it's strangely the draft status of Bronny James now becomes, like, a weird important point. Because if he were to be drafted, or if he were to enter the draft and he were to be drafted to a team, you would think that he would probably... Or would he play one more year with the Lakers to get the $63 million that his contract?
That's a lot of money.
Is calling for, and then
you invest that. You put that in a TFSA.
Oh my gosh, my contribution room is salivating. But yeah, so
do you think LeBron pays his taxes? Do you think he pays his fair share?
I think he probably has an accountant, but.
Well, no, I mean, like, do you think his accountant's, like, loopholing and, like, getting it down to zero? Or do you think LeBron's checking in $100 million?
Well, I mean, I don't think anyone who is worth, like, more than, like, $10 million pays their fair share of taxes.
Okay, let's not get political.
But at any rate, so weirdly, that becomes, like, an important thing because... If he were to leave, what would you do? You have to just trade everyone, right?
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Davis is a great, great basketball player. And I think is capable of being the best player in a championship team, but they don't have the championship team around him. So I guess if LeBron were to leave, it just makes more sense to maximize a return on Anthony Davis and start anew.
Yeah, sorry, he's only owed $51 million next year. I made a mistake with my numbers there. So it's actually fine.
Yeah.
Who
would you trade? Which team could use Anthony Davis in the offseason? Or should we save that?
We can talk about it now. What about...
The New York Knicks?
What about the New York Knicks? I don't think they really have that much to trade is the thing.
Trade Julius Randle and... A package.
What about this would be such a bad idea.
What about the Miami Heat?
Sure. That's a real one. I don't know how much they have to trade. I guess they have some youngish players.
They have the Dame package.
I guess they have the Dame package. But if the Dallas Mavericks were to engineer some sort of Anthony Davis Kyrie Irving swap.
Oh. Is that if LeBron stays or LeBron goes?
Either way, that's the beauty of it, that you just get Kyrie Irving in a Lakers uniform and it kind of all works itself out.
Yeah. It's the dream pairing. The spotlight of the Los Angeles Lakers with the temperament of Kyrie Irving, who's been on his best behavior lately.
Your famous beef. Chris, we only have 14 more playoff series to go. Yeah.
I tried to move us along. You said you don't want to talk about the Lakers? The team with the most discourse around them of any team in professional sports? You don't want to dip your toe into those waters?
The Thunder and the Pelicans.
Is the same series as...
The Canucks and the Predators. So this is more about the Canucks and the Thunder, respectively.
Okay.
Because they are, I'm calling it the worst to first, because they are obviously teams that were both quite bad last year.
Right.
And predicted to be bad this year, but have sort of shot up and become, like, among the best teams in the league, kind of overnight. Like, not just, like, they're in the playoffs now, like, they're one of the best teams now.
Yes.
And it's interesting to sort of compare the two, because I think that the Predators represent a much more tangible threat to that kind of team than the New Orleans Pelicans do.
Yeah, the Pelicans are sort of new to the playoffs, but the Predators are, like, always in playoff contention. They have a team full of grizzled veterans and a good goalie, like, and certainly not with Thatcher Demko going out.
Yes.
The Canucks are heavily on upset watch, whereas the Thunder are not.
Yes, and that's the sort of strange comparison here, is that, like, I think the worst thing for a team like that is a team with, like, structure that sort of is not afraid to be in this situation. There are a lot of those in the NHL. Like, you'll find a lot of those teams. But, you know, you look at the 1-8 in the other conference where it's the Celtics against the Heat, like, these Thunder, I guess Jimmy Butler being injured very much changes the calculus, but, like, they would really hate to be against the Heat, I feel. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I do think the Thunder are, like, the Thunder are not one of those, oh, young team flukes their way to the one seed. Like, they're legitimately a very, very good basketball team.
No, they're excellent. And one of the things that I was sort of mulling over in the regular season was that I don't think there's really a comparison for these Thunder, because the main thing being they don't have a Chris Paul, because that's the other sort of, like, and that team was bucking the status quo at the time as well. The Suns.
Right.
How they kind of shot up from being out of playoff contention to going to the finals the next year.
Right.
But that team had, like, veteran of all veterans.
Yeah.
To sort of guide them. And he, like, you know, was doing it from the point guard spot. So
you don't think Gordon Hayward is bringing that same level of impact?
I don't, actually. And so it is as if, like, if the Thunder just had, like, I mean, I don't want to say LeBron James, but, like, they don't have really any veterans. Like, if you look at, like, their oldest players, it's, like, Gordon Hayward and that's it.
Yeah. Should the Thunder draft Bronny?
I don't see why not. But, yeah, it's, like, if you look at their top, like, 10 players, it's, like, Shea is 25, Jalen Williams is 22, Chet Holmgren's 21, Dort is 24, Giddey's 21. They have a rookie, Kasan Wallace, doing a lot. They have Isaiah Joe, who most people had never heard of, who's 24. And then it's Hayward and Aaron Wiggins, who's 25, and that's their 9. They have one guy who's over the age of 25.
Is it Bismack Biyombo?
They also have Bismack Biyombo. That's,
we love Bismack,
but I meant in their primary rotation.
Right.
We love Bismack Biyombo. So there's really no point of comparison, because they're, and so it's just like, you just don't know, I think. And obviously they're playing well against the Pelicans, but, like, the Pelicans have to be, other than, like, the depleted Heat, they have to be one of the worst, the least threatening teams in this playoffs, right?
Yeah, without Zion, for sure. I think it's a strong playoff field. With Zion, I feel like the Pelicans could beat the Cavs or the Magic. But that's an East versus West thing. All right, Chris, the next one on our list, you think Celtics Heat is the same as Kings Oilers. You've titled this one the Are We Sure They're the Best Teams? I assume you have doubt in both the Boston Celtics and the Edmonton Oilers.
I actually don't.
Oh.
For really either of them.
Well, then never mind.
I believe in both of them, but they are teams that it's hard to feel confident in. I think it's very easy with both of these teams that like, if things were to start to tip in the wrong direction, and now both of these teams have dropped a game, that, like, as soon as that happened, like, instantly, it was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Like, there was a little bit of, like, tension that sort of cropped up. And both of these teams are, you know, the Celtics were, in my opinion, by far the best team in the NBA this year.
Yeah, I think that's pretty widely held.
And then the Oilers, like, oh, you know, once they stopped being the worst team in the league, they were, like, basically the best over the last, like, 60 games or what have you. Certainly after the trade deadline, I thought they were an excellent team. But then both of them, it's very easy to just get into this situation where you're like, are we sure about them? Or do we feel like maybe they could lose in the first round and it wouldn't be that crazy? Whereas, like, if the Nuggets lost in the first round, you'd be like, that's crazy.
That is true. The Celtics and the Oilers, I think, both do have... I mean, they're teams that attract a lot of attention, for better and for worse. The Oilers through Connor McDavid and the Celtics through being the Celtics. So I think that that also sort of leans into that a little bit. Like, as soon as the Oilers wobble, people are like, oh, are they going down? Same with the Celtics. But
also,
I do...
two teams with a lot of historical success that...
Yeah.
Have been relatively limited in their success the last, you know.
Both have the greatest player of all time as one of their franchise icons.
Mm-hmm. Dana Barros and who on the Oilers?
Wayne Gretzky.
Did you say Edwin Gretzky?
Edwin Gretzky, yeah, his grandson.
Okay.
Who's two.
Can't wait.
Also, Heat and Kings, same vibe.
What?
Grind them out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, kind of. The Kings are interesting because I originally had them compared to... I don't remember which team I had them compared to. Oh, I was comparing them to the Lakers because I was like, you're sort of like, is this an old team or a young team?
Right.
Because they kind of give the vibes of both at the same time. Obviously, like, they still have, like, Drew Doughty like, is somehow still around.
Yeah, and Andre Kopitar is still a great player.
He had the overtime game winner, and then Drew Doughty scored, and I heard that it was the first goal he had scored in the playoffs since the 2014 Stanley Cup Finals.
That's crazy, and they've been in the playoffs, too.
Yeah, and, like, yeah, so it's, like, they're both teams where it's, like, they kind of have this pedigree about them, but then also have a lot of, like, young guys, and so they're a bit of a strange team, a bit of an odd duck. I don't know if there's any teams, like, you know, any, like, real teams. Like, there are some fake teams in this NHL playoffs, for sure. But I don't know if there are any real teams that I would really say, like, they could beat that team. But I think that it's not a fun matchup to have to go through.
Right. All right, why don't we speed through a couple here. Bucks-Pacers, you said, was the same as Wolves-Suns, the welcome kind of to the new agers.
Some of these are a little more tenuous.
Yes. The Bucks and Suns are... Both teams are being beaten by teams that have... Both teams are, like, championship contenders the last few years that might be beaten by teams that have not been championship contenders the last few years. Is that what you're going for there?
Yeah, kind of. And then it's like... And just, like... The Suns, I don't know about the Suns. They've sort of put themselves in a very difficult spot.
Yeah. What do you think about the Bucks?
Well, they've kind of ended up in a similar spot, but, like, more by accident. I guess they did trade for Damian Lillard. But, you know, their sort of core, they kept their core together, and now they're sort of reaping the fruit of that. It's almost like the Penguins in a way. I wish the Penguins were here, I could compare them to them.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, we kept our core together. Isn't that nice? And now it's like, well, we still have this core together, and we traded for Damian Lillard / Erik Karlsson, and they're not really as good as we were hoping they would be. And now we just kind of have a bunch of old guys on this team. Sidney Crosby and Giannis Antetokounmpo, I don't think, are the same age.
No, I think Sidney Crosby's a couple years older.
But... Similar vibe, you understand what I'm saying.
Yes. Next up is a wild one. You have Knicks Sixers, two championship contenders that might go seven. Maybe not Eastern Conference Final contenders. A series that seems like it's destined to go seven up against Islanders Hurricanes, a completely one-sided destruction that'll end in a sweep. These were the two teams that were left over that you didn't have a pairing for?
The thing is, so Islanders and Hurricanes, there is no series that's like Islanders and Hurricanes where it's just like, oh my gosh, like, this is one team that should probably be, like, a favorite to win the Stanley Cup. Like, I mean, I've been on the Hurricanes train for a few years now. You
I mean,
this.
I think Capitals-Rangers is the comparison to Islanders-Hurricanes.
Sure. We can flip those then. I'm happy to put that in there as well. But just, like, wow. Also, the Capitals. That was the other team I was going to talk about, where I was like, are they an old team or are they a young team?
The Capitals are a bad team.
For sure.
And that's all I care.
But yes, there's no real comparison where it's like, oh, this is just a team that is hopelessly outmatched, and like, you're never even afraid of dropping a game, is what I feel like. Like, they were down, the Hurricanes were, in their last game, or at least it was close.
Right.
And I was just like, well, the Hurricanes are going to win. Like, this is just obvious.
Yeah.
And so there's not really a comparison. I went with Knicks Sixers because I feel like both of these are kind of like, no, that's not really true. I don't have a good comparison.
Every episode I try to get you to rapid fire, and you never rapid fire.
All right, let's start.
You're
about,
wordy.
I have Cavs Magic and Capitals Rangers as the unwatchables. I would never want to watch one of these games.
That's fair. Cavs Magic might be. Although, what the hell happened with the Magic beating the Cavs by like 50 last night? I did not care enough to investigate that, but that was crazy.
People keep asking me this, and there's not really an answer.
The Cavs just missed all their shots?
Kind of, yeah. Like, they went 8 for 34 from 3. That's, like, the only thing you can really, like, point to. Like, they weren't terrible. Like, there were some bad shooting performances, for sure. Darius Garland went 2 for 10 for 5 points. And just as a team, they shot terribly from 3. But, like, there's nothing you can point to where it's like, yeah, this thing happened. Like, they had, like, 25 turnovers or, like...
Right.
Orlando went like 25 for 30 from 3.
Right.
Like, Orlando did not really play like super well, I didn't think. Like, they went 13 for 37 from 3. They were like under or like right around 50% for their like overall shooting. They were just like okay and didn't turn it over very much, and it just somehow ballooned into this giant win.
Right.
Mostly
well,
because Magic
are
not shoot well at all.
Great defensive team, so credit to them
for sure.
For getting a win, a home win there. Why don't we do Golden Knights versus and Stars versus Avalanche and Jets? This is you've titled this one the "This shouldn't be a first round" matchups, which seems right.
Yeah,
the Golden
Knights
LTIR'd their way to a wild card seed. You got any thoughts on that?
Not really. I think it's been talked about enough.
Okay. And the Jets Avs, a victim of the NHL's playoff system, two really, really good hockey teams going head-to-head. Big edge for the Jets in the crease. Talent-wise, edge probably goes to your beloved Colorado Avalanche, Chris. Who do you have in this one? I just want a straight pick from you on this.
On Avs-Jets?
Yeah.
I've got the Avs.
Okay.
The Jets have definitely been playing well, better than they were in like, you know, the second half of the season. But this is a team, you know, what I think were we talking about it in the NFL playoffs, where we were sort of talking about the idea of like the team that starts strong and then falters versus the team that starts slowly and then turns it on towards the end. And like, you know, which one is sort of more reliable. I think as I recall, I was proven wrong when I was sort of talking about the team that was, like, consistent all year, and then they have this dip before the playoffs. That is actually, like, often the team that doesn't do super well.
Yeah.
Didn't we do
a draft of, like, franchises that were going to, like, win a championship in the next year or something like that? We should revisit that.
Yeah, I think I have, like, Golden State and the Rams.
Yeah. Well, you're good at this kind of thing.
You're an idiot. But, yeah, I mean, I do think that the Avalanche are top to bottom better. But, you know, the Jets are kind of, like, they should be the kind of, like, they're just top to bottom good. They're very grindy. They're really annoying to play against. Like, they have a really good goalie. They have all of those components that, or like the kinds of things that you talk about when you're talking about a team that always does really well in the playoffs, but they don't always do really well in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing that's missing is the results. So they could win, and I'd be like, yeah, that like basically makes sense, even though I think that they're not as talented of a team. But they haven't really shown their ability to be the team that they seem like on paper thus far.
Right. And lastly, Chris, the Clippers and the Mavericks, you have paired with the Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs as the make or breakers. These are four teams, I think, with tons on the line. Maybe the Boston Bruins, not quite as much. Do you think there's a lot on the line for the Boston Bruins? Like, do you think people get fired if the Bruins lose this series kind of thing?
That is kind of the thing. It's like, I think that if the Leafs, Clippers, or Mavs lose this series, like, they sort of need to take a long, hard look in the mirror and make some kind of big change, either on the, you know, front office coaching side or on the personnel side, because, like, they sort of had a few bites with this, you know, especially the Clippers and Mavs. They're different this year than they have been the last couple of years, but I think that you need to sort of take a hard look at yourself. The Bruins, less so, but they are sort of trending towards... I mean, the thing about the Bruins is that they were supposed to just be worse this year.
Yeah, they're definitely overperforming their roster with a number two seed in the Atlantic and all that, mostly on the back of 15 overtime losses. Yeah. That's really been what pushed them over. But that won't matter if they win this series.
So true. I'll press you for a pick here between the Leafs and the Bruins. Are you
Toronto Maple Leafs?
What's your general sort of emotional tenor like?
I don't really know. I have no idea what to make of this Leafs team still through three playoff games. Austin Matthews, I think I've been saying all year that they're not very good, and Austin Matthews has been dragging them kicking and screaming. And that certainly was true in Game 2, the only game that they've won. Maybe not kicking and screaming, but he played a fantastic game. That's the only one they've won so far. So William Nylander should be back for Game 4 tonight, at the time you're listening to this, in bed. So we'll see if that can free up some space on the power play. I think if the Leafs lose this series, Sheldon Keefe is clearly done. Who knows about Brad Tree living?
I don't think he's done.
Well, I think if they lose this series, he gets one more chance. They clearly need goaltending upgrade. They clearly need a defensive upgrade. There's a lot of work to do either way.
But you would not have said that 2 weeks ago.
That they needed a goaltending upgrade?
Yes.
Absolutely. I wanted them to trade for UC Saros at the trade deadline, remember?
Well, that was never going to happen.
Well, then trade for the other one, Askarov. Get one of them.
You think that...
One of those two Panthers goalies has to be up for trade.
Isn't Askarov, like, a child? He's 21 years old. He's not even on the Predators.
He's ready. He's ready. He won, like, 21 games in a row this year for the Admirals.
Well, be that as it may.
No, I think the Leafs do win this series and then get their crap kicked in by Florida again.
Wow, interesting.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong about the second part.
You don't have anything to, you don't still feel any kind of way about my John Tavares take.
Which one is that?
You have that they're sort of being hamstrung by his contract, and that it won't get better until he is off the books. After next season. That's
like there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, but you know if it's Brad Tree living. You know, you're talking about the sort of chances that he might have. You know, wouldn't you want to give him that offseason? Or would you want to get someone new in to
reshape the roster? If it's an important offseason, I wouldn't want Brad Tree living handling it.
Okay, fair enough. Are we done?
I think so.
Okay, thanks for listening. Please remember, et cetera, et cetera. GriffinPorter97 on formerly Twitter. Seahouse and Jan, HFLC podcast.
I like that you still plug your Twitter every week.
I know.
Come on by. Check out the gif of...
There's a Blue Jays gif I made a year ago. That's kind of funny. So hop on that. Do you have anything you want to...
Thanks for listening. People?
Any new movies you want to talk about?
I haven't seen a movie in a couple weeks, actually. I was thinking I might go see Civil War today, but that didn't happen.
Challengers.
I'm going to see Challengers next week. Asked you if you wanted to double date it. You seem to imply that you did not.
That was the source of our famous spat.
That's our famous spat. Yeah, I was wondering which of our spats was the famous one.
Thank you all for listening. And until next time, please.
Challengers is a sports movie. I guess we'll have to review it on the podcast.
And your ceiling's low.
Do you want to answer my thing about the Challengers review?
I'll go to see Challengers with you.
and then review it on the podcast?
Yeah, oh, of course, sure. We can review it.
Okay. That's going to do it for us this week, folks. Thank you so much for listening.
Please you're doing this keep again? Your
floor. It's got to be the last thing we say at the end of the episode.
And your ceilings low.
I didn't even say keep your floors high.
And your ceilings low.
Nice.
No, but now we have to do it again.
Oh, because I said nice? Sometimes there's a little nice at the end of the episode.
And your ceiling's low.
No, that doesn't count. I have to say keep your floors high.
Okay.
Here, peace.
And your ceiling's low.
You're... No. How do we not have this down yet? How many episodes do you think we've done of this show, by the way?
And your ceiling's low.
Keep your floors high.
Yeah.
Are you just testing my will? This has turned into some sort of, like, sick psychological experiment for you. And your ceiling's low. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Please remember to keep your floors.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. Please follow us on Twitter, formerly X. They went back. And your ceilings, just, you know.
Keep your floors high and your ceilings low.